right, Acts chapter 17, if you will. Acts chapter 17. We're going to start reading again the first verse of that chapter. But we're going to go a little further. We're going to dwell on some other verses down there. Acts chapter 17, verse number 1 says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. So they went into a place where Jews gather." Now Jews, of course, believed in the Torah. They believed in the Old Testament. And by this time in history, the rabbis had pretty well settled the canon on the law and the prophets and the books of poetry and Psalms and Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and all those. And all that was pretty well settled. And by the way, if some new Bible decides they want to change that around, they got to argue with hundreds of years of scholarship from the Jews. The Jews had already established that, the Masoretic text and so forth. But anyway, so they go to a synagogue where they read the Old Testament. Verse 2, "And Paul," we talked about this last week, last week, "as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ." Now watch this. "And some of them believed." Some of the Jews in the synagogue believed and consorted. They kind of ran around with, they consorted with Paul and Silas and other devout Greeks, a great multitude. So you've got Jewish people believing, you've got Greeks believing, and you've got, and of the chief women, not a few. It's interesting they made the women separate from the Greeks and the Jews. You're either Greek or Jew, but they made the women a third party. It's kind of funny how they did that. But anyway, so there was women, you know, who were believing. Verse 5, "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort." Often I tease the back row of the choir that they're the baser sort. But anyway, "fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus.' And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go." Now, you can read this in different ways, but when I go back there and read this, if I start back in 5 one more time, watch me. "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort." It's almost like they got a bunch of mafia guys, you know what I mean? Guido and all these guys, you know. They got some guys on the side of the baser sort, and they gathered a company, whole group, whole band of people, and set all the city on an uproar, and watch, "and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people." Now, why did they assault the house of Jason? They thought that's where Paul and Silas were. However, next verse, "and when they found them not," best I can tell, Paul and Silas was not at Jason's house. "When they found them not, And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren, some guys were in there with Jason, but apparently it wasn't Paul and Silas, unto the rulers of the city. Now, Jason was minding his own business. And yet they go in there and they drag this poor guy out of his house and his buddies, and they take him to the head of the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." Now, they're charging Jason and his buddies with turning the world upside down. And actually, I know we use that to say, well, look at the apostles have turned. Well, actually, the apostles had, I mean, Paul and Silas had turned the world upside down. But these poor people hadn't. At least I don't think so. There's no place where it's talking about it. But they're just about ready to get strung up, because there's some people out there who are just dead set against Jesus Christ. It says, "These have turned the world upside down, are come hither also," verse 7, "whom Jason hath received." He let them in his house. Well, they don't know who they let in the house. "And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, the king, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason of the other, they let them go." I want to pray. We're talking about upside down or right side up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for these truths. And Lord, this is very apropos for these days that we live in. People are just angry. Anything that has to do with the name of Jesus, they are adamantly opposed to. They are offended by the name of Jesus. And Lord, we should not be surprised. And we can have to be totally innocent and be associated with the name of Jesus and sought to be ridiculed or punished or even worse. But Lord, give us your wisdom here. And Lord, we're coming into a time, I'm afraid, where we're going to have to be ready to stand. And so Lord, to give us your wisdom and your heart for others. That's what Jesus did. He loved those. He loved us with a cross, even though we were crucifying him. Lord, I pray that you speak to us here in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to jump right on number one here. There are always going to be those who refuse to hear truth. There's always going to be those who will refuse to hear truth. Verse 5, it starts out, "There were some that believed not, but the Jews which believed not." Luke 8:4 says this, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to Jesus out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. Another fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit, 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.'" That was interesting that Jesus says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And there again, if you study that, look it up, it's our choice whether we're going to hear or not. How can God reprimand somebody for not hearing if he has to be regenerated to hear before he can hear? Letter C, it's the word, the phrase, believed not. Now, you go back and study this word. I cut and paste this right out of the dictionary. It means to disbelieve willfully. To disbelieve willfully. And I put a little phrase there, so much for predestination. They chose to not believe. It means to be disobedient, to obey not, to be unbelieving, unpersuadable. And then it said, I remember when I looked it up, it said the word was contumacious. Contumacious. I thought, what in the world is that? Contumation means swelling against. In other words, when it says they believed not, it wasn't just saying, oh, I don't know if I believe that or not. That's not what it was. They willingly disbelieved. They swelled against it. They were haughty. They were obstinate. I mean, they were chose to be perverse. Perverse literally means to go off the path that we were supposed to be on. That's really all it means. It means not to go the path we were supposed to be going. There's a path of righteousness. The path that is perverse is away from the path of righteousness. They were choosing to be unpersuadable. And watch this. Unyielding. Watch this. Like a child. I'm not going to believe. You know, that's funny. But again, I hate to say it. I hit a few things on clickbait here the other day. And it was these people who went to college campuses, and they asked the question, can a child know what he's doing to agree to puberty blockers? Can a child make that decision? Well, a child can't make a decision to smoke. He can't make a decision to drink. He can't make a decision. Listen, he can't vote yet. All these things that a child cannot do, but he can go to a doctor and be given prescriptions that's going to sterilize himself. There's a problem there. Now, when you see these videos, you got people asking. They're simply asking a question, and you got two guys having a conversation. And you've got these people who are transgender. And they're, of course, they dress like children. Have you ever noticed that a lot of men who are transgender actually dress like little girls? Have you ever noticed that? But they do. And these guys were dancing in between the people trying to talk. And they were going up behind them, yell them in their ear, 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 yell them. And they had tambourines, and so you couldn't carry on a conversation. Like a child. They're having a temper tantrum. All because this person has an opinion that's different than theirs. But they're open and affirming. They're open and affirming to everything but the truth. I'm not trying to be mean. Now, I'm sure some people, well, some of them are very nice. I assume. I don't know any of them, but I'm sure there are. But this is what these people were doing. They were willfully disbelieving, almost to the point where they were swelling against, they're obstinate, perverse, inflexible, unyielding, like a child. They did not want to accept that they must answer to Jesus Christ. That would admit guilt and sin. Their letter D, or whatever the number it is, their guilt could move to repentance or move them to rejection. Let me say that again. Our guilt can move us to repentance or move us to rejection. John 16 says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The word reprove means to convict by exposing to. God's going to show us what we are, and we can take, and that be, we can be convicted by it, or we can bow up our back at it. And the fact is, we are all like children sometimes. God tells us, well, there's something we shouldn't be doing. And you know what we'll say? Well, I'm a grown adult. I can do as I please. You stick our tongue out at God. These people were repulsed by Christ. They were moved with envy. That means they were heated with jealousy. What moved them to that, to action? Jealousy and envy. That's what moved them to do what they did. Proverbs 29:27 says, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in his way is an abomination to the wicked. Don't be surprised if you stand for truth. That's going to be somebody that's going to rise up and call you wicked, unloving, uncaring, because you're not willing to justify their sin. And boy, we're seeing that today like I've never seen in my life. Number two, some folks may feel so convicted that they attack the messenger. They attack the messenger. And that's kind of what was going on here. They were just mad at somebody. They went into Jason's house and hauled him out, and the people they were mad at weren't even there. How many times have we seen on the news somebody's mad at somebody, so they go loot a store that has nothing to do with what they're mad at? It's totally unreasonable. That's how far sin will take us. Now, again, I really always hate to say this part, but while we had a world, while we had a country that basically feared God, we should have been making sure that we were passing that on down to our children and our children's children. You really don't have to teach a child that there's God. You really don't. You got to teach a child there's not God. And we drop the ball and we let the old devil and all his flakes take over. Number two, letter A there, it says, Jesus forewarned the disciples that there would be days like this. John chapter 16, these things have I spoken to you that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And we're seeing an example of that right here in Acts. And I'm afraid we're seeing an example of that right now in America. You know, England, I guess maybe it was the whole United Kingdom, not sure. They just outlawed the puberty blockers entirely. They just outlawed it. But see, they've been doing it for 20 years. They've been doing it longer than we have. Now they're seeing the results of this foolishness. And America is just getting into this thing. And do you think they would they would have a word to the wise and watch what was going on in London and find out, you know what, they found out we shouldn't be doing that. Well, maybe we better stop right now before we're going to go any further. And I'll guarantee you we won't do that. We gotta ruin our lives on our own. Number three, Christians, and especially soul winners, people who are given the gospel of Jesus Christ, live contrary to the world. We are going in a different direction. And the world thinks we're, as my dad used to say, contrary. Don't be so contrary. What does that mean? Doing my own thing, going against the rules. Watch. The devil has his ways. I've shown you this before. If I'm walking through life, and I don't run into Satan from time to time, it's because I'm going the same direction as he is. If I'm going God's direction, I'm bound to have run into him. All those who live godly shall suffer persecution. What does that mean? If I'm going the right direction, I'm going to run into that old guy from time to time, old slew foot. There's times I'm bound to. Don't be surprised. Now don't say, well, okay, I'll just stop going anywhere. Maybe we won't run into him. I'll stop growing. I'll stop telling everybody about Christ. I'll stop sharing the gospel. Then maybe I won't run into him. Now that's no good either. Are you a Christian? Well, we need to live like a Christian. You deny me before the men, I'll deny you before the Father, he says in Matthew 10. Remember, doing right and being godly and trying to win folks to Christ always goes against the tide of the world. Listen, no one enjoys being opposed. And of course, non-Christians are not going to take what they see as opposition very kindly. Don't expect it. We've had some kids in our school, and the parents just didn't like our stand on certain things. And they said, and they've actually come in and accused, I thought you were supposed to be nice people. I had somebody ream me out one day. They thought, well, we should be doing so and so and so and so. And he calls himself a Christian. Because I wouldn't get in on their sin. Number four. When criticism comes, and it will, we need to make sure we are on the right side of things. Now, let me read this for you from let me back up. What I'm saying here is this. Just because we're being criticized doesn't mean we're going the right direction. All right? Now, if you're going in the right direction, don't be surprised when you're criticized. But just because you're criticized doesn't mean you're going the right direction. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For what glory is it if when ye are buffeted, that doesn't mean you're going out for a big meal, you're buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. In other words, you're actually wrong. And you get in trouble. But, you know, okay, take your licks. You know, you cause the problem. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now watch me, let it be. If we are on God's side of things, then God is going to fight our battles for us. That doesn't mean we don't know there's a battle. There's going to be a battle. We just go along with him. And when we are on God's side, we're on the winning side. And so don't worry about the opposition. When you're on God's side, just stay on his side. Just stay there. Let us see. How do we know if we are on God's side or are really on the wrong side, or should be stopped? We should try the spirits. Try the spirits. 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So if you're trying to get into something, you're working with some people, are they willing to believe the truth that Jesus is God in the flesh? If not, then they're not on God's side. I don't want to be mean here, but on the way home from work to get a little dinner before we came back here, I passed some young boys out here down here in Dover with the black pants, a black tie, and a white shirt, pair of them, going up and down the street again. And they do that almost every spring about this time. Now, the fact is, my guess is they were probably very polite. My guess is that they are nice boys, but they're propagating a falsehood. I remember, man, this was years ago, on a Wednesday night, two of them came in here and sat in here during my service. The answer was a long time ago, but they sat right there. And, of course, afterwards I went down and talked to them. And, of course, they're very well indoctrinated. And they've got their answer, but either answer doesn't really hold water, but they feel it holds water, so they're good with that, you know. And you ask them, well, do you believe that Jesus is God? And they'll say, absolutely, he's a God. And if we're not careful, we'll say, well, okay, there we go. No, he's not a God, he's the God. You ask, well, is he the Son of God? Well, he's a Son of God. We're all sons of God, are we not? And they take you to a verse that says that we're all sons of God. And they take it out of context. And there was a couple of verses I took them to, and, of course, they showed me in their Bible how that had been manipulated to fulfill their doctrine. And so, you know, they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Or at least not Jehovah God in the flesh. They don't believe in the triune God. They would say he's God in the flesh because he's a God that happens to be in the flesh. They twist the words. What are they doing with Jesus? Are they following him, or are they setting Jesus and the Bible aside in order to do as they please? That's your question. Number five, you can tell much about a person by who they link up with. Let me say that again. You can tell an awful lot about a person by who they link up with. In our passage, it says, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. The letter A there, some folks draw closer to God and God's people. Now that word consorted means to have to give common lot to be associated with. So they put their lot in with Paul and Silas. They hung around with Paul and Silas, knowing that some people were going to get upset with them by running around with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Letter B, some people are drawn to the world. Verse 5, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Now, I want to be careful how I say this. Let me go back first of all and say, you can tell much about a person by the crowd they run with. Now, they may have been running with a crowd and the crowd went bad and they were still kind of hanging around there and didn't realize how bad it was. I mean, that does happen. They kind of got stuck in the wrong crowd there by accident. But these people, Paul and Silas, just came into town. And there were some people who consorted, they associated with Paul and Silas. They lined up with Paul and Silas. And then there was others who didn't believe, and who did they line up with? These lewd fellows of the baser sort. Some people who's willing to do things on the sly, to do something a little on the shady side, or the folks who are just a little bit deceitful to accomplish what they want to accomplish. The obvious, if we're living a regular life and in the world and so forth, you know, who do you run around with? Now remember, I remember telling you this before. I don't want to be near folks that God might have to deal with, because I don't want any backwash on me. You know what I'm saying? I remember when I was a kid in class, and you get a bunch of kids in there, and the teacher went out of the room, and they were going to do all this kind of crazy stuff, you know. I'll be honest with you. If they got a whole bunch of them, then a whole bunch in one area, I would get out of my seat, and I moved to another seat. I would distance myself from that crowd like this. So when the teacher walked in, I'm not near that mess. Oh, you're a brown loser. You know, you can call it what you want. I know what the teacher wants me to be doing right now, and what they're doing isn't it. But I don't want to do it. And there was guys who really gave me a hard time. I remember there were some guys who would find me in the hallway later. And the fact is they were mad at me because I made them look bad by doing right. I was the bad guy because I didn't join the mess. It's like, in fact, there was one time they said, well, Sterling, if you do it, she won't yell at us. I said, I'm not taking that chance. I don't want to be associated with the wrong thing. What are you associated with? Now watch me. We got to be careful. Even in Christian ministry, to make sure we associate with the right thing. Now, I'll be honest with you. What we have here is an exceptionally good thing. Maybe you don't see it. It's just what we've been here. We've been doing this for 20 years, and we've got a good thing going. But I'll be honest with you, what we have going on here doesn't happen everywhere. I'm serious. Because some folks have been elsewhere, and they've seen other things. I'm not taking credit for it. I'm just saying we just keep standing on the word. If it's God says it's wrong, it's wrong. If Jesus wouldn't do it, I'm not going to do it. Let's just do it. And we mess up from time to time, but that's our main goal, to make sure we're doing right. And the fact is, even sometimes within the context of ministry, folks will do things underhanded, on the sly, appeal to the flesh. Thinking they're doing God service. Now, I don't know who's going to get mad at me for saying this, but I don't believe in bingo games and 50-50 and all those kind of things. Raffle off a car, raffle off a quilt. I'm not going to do that. You say, well, as long as the money goes to the church, what's the big deal? It's the process. What I mean? Well, what it means is you got people buying a ticket hoping they're going to win. You say, well, I don't care if I win or not. Yeah, but you're buying a ticket. If you win, you're going to be glad you did. Or most people would be glad they did. But what if you lose? Well, you say, well, I'll be okay with that. Well, fine. Well, then why are you taking God's money and throwing it away? We say, well, not throwing it away, it's going to the church. Do you realize God doesn't need your gambling? How's God supposed to provide? What's supposed to provide the needs for the church? Well, God does, of course, through the tithes and the offerings of the church members. That's what the Bible says. What's the big deal? I said this one time before, and again, don't get mad at me, but the lottery is a taxation on the stupid. Now, a few people, listen, there are going to be enough people win that the rest of us are going to think we can. I heard the other day that there was three winners out of the same little shop, someplace nearby here. And there were three winners fairly recently out of the same one. And that made the news. You know why? It doesn't happen like that. That's unusual. And by the way, why does the lottery make so much money?
Because there's a lot of losers.
That's why there's a lot of losers. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to be mean. I know some people think that I've had people accuse me that I didn't care that people were dying and going to hell because I wouldn't participate in some activity to kind of manipulate people to get them to church. I mean, literally. I mean, they told me, you must not love souls if you don't do something like this. I said, I do love souls. That's why I'm not going to dirty our name. You can say what you want. I'm sorry, but, I'm just not going to do it. Just not going to do it. Let her see. They took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. That means to take unto them, means to take to oneself, to admit to them, to receive. Here's the word, to attach themselves to. Lewd fellows, hurtful, evil, culpable, derelict, vicious, malicious. In masculine, it's the word the devil. Or plural, it's the word sinners. Of the baser sort. Now that says as related to the marketplace, but that's the main thing. But what it just means, out there in the world, vulgar, having no problem being vulgar in public. No, notorious or well known by the public to be that type of person. And notice they needed to find lewd, base fellows. Apparently the honest folks wouldn't go with them against Paul and Silas. They had to find some lewd and base folks to do that. Almost done. Letter D. Verse 7 says this, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees. That's the accusation. They do contrary to the decrees of Caesar. Now, remember I said early on, if you live for God, you're contrary to the world. And they think you're contrary. So what did they do? They appealed to Caesar. Here we go, watch. Back up to, they linked up with the world's powers. They played politics. Watch out for those who play this up to politicians. I had a friend of mine that was a state senator down in Maryland. Good friend of mine. He was state senator for quite a few years. And he went into politics. He was a Christian man. He says, I don't like being called, saying that we're in politics. Because poly means many and ticks are bloodsuckers. He says, we're supposed to be statesmen, public servants. You know, if you realize that most of the things that people, when we cry out against immorality, we are accused of being political. Have you noticed that recently? If we cry out against gambling, we're being political. If we cry out against homosexuality, we're being political. If we cry out against the transgender, we're being political. If we cry out against abortion, we're being political. No, we're not. Those are moral laws, not government's law. Government has no right to even put its nose in the middle of all that. No right at all. You know what government's job is? To protect the people. Protect them from foreign and domestic, from ourselves if necessary. But that's basically the job of our government, not to legislate morality. We say, they do legislate morality. I mean, you have laws against murder. We all know that murder's wrong. We don't need government to tell us that it's wrong. It's wrong. Now, watch this. They're not legislating morality as much as they're legislating this person, don't hurt this person. And if this is a person that hurts people, then we need to put him away. They say, well, wasn't adultery against the law at one time? Yeah. You know why? Do you know why adultery was against the law? If they were there to protect one another, protect the people, so as not to allow such activity to come in and destroy society. You have adultery, you ruin a marriage. If there's kids, you mess up the kids. Now all of a sudden you've got somebody who wants to be married to somebody else, and now we're creating. Listen, you know as well as I do. Well, I shouldn't say. Some of us know as well as I do. Some of us with a little more gray on the top. There was a time in life where people didn't get divorced. Now, I'm not upset about folks who are divorced, and I'm sorry for folks who've their spouse has messed up on them, and I'm so sorry about that. I'm not saying this to hurt anybody. But the fact is we made that okay. It's all right if it happens. Well, that's what we do. And now society has developed. One of the main things, one of the main problems they're saying with black crime is the fact is these little black kids are growing up without a parent. I'm not trying, that's not racist. It's just the facts. It's been documented. And so there are these things we're trying to protect ourselves from ourselves. And we need to be a good citizen, vote, speak up. Watch out, though, if you think politics is the answer to our spiritual problems and our sin problems. Our form of government is only workable for a moral and religious people, and not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so we're going to finish up this. We're not done with this section, but we're done tonight. Don't allow the government to steal moral authority. Because if they steal moral authority, they will decide what's good and evil. And all of a sudden, I saw something just the other day. Man, what was it? Somebody, I forget what now it was. It was this girl yelling at a guy who was protesting abortion. And she was saying that he was wrong because the government had said it was legal, and so if it's legal, there's not a thing wrong with it. There's a lot of things that are legal. The states that have legalized marijuana are having a spike in DUIs. Now, why would that be? I mean, we're just making it legal. So as long as you only have enough right now to get high right now, it's okay. But you can stop at the house and get some more once you've used that and only have enough to get high right now. Now, I know there's all these things that the people will say, and I know when alcohol was when we went into prohibition, they said, well, we had the mafia and we had all the speakeasies, and if they're going to drink, they're going to drink anyway. Well, I understand. But I don't have to endorse it. Look, watch. Suppose I said, you know what? As of right now, we don't care about premarital sex. You're going to do it anyway, so why bother with it? Do what you want. In fact, we'll start making advertisements, encouraging you to have whatever it is you to entice the opposite sex, so you can have premarital sex. That's what they did with drinking. Well, they're going to do it anyway. So we all at least get the government in on it and get some tax money out of it. You see what I'm saying? I mean, again, I'm not trying to hurt anybody here at all. But we have walked away so much from God's law that we have decided that we have the right to decide good and evil. And then we wonder why our society is falling apart.